I'd like to talk with you just a little bit if I can tonight. Wonder how many today has had regards toward the service tonight. You know, there's one thing that God constantly reminds me of, and that is that we must worship Him. We must worship Him, and we must give unto Him glory. He created us for His glory, and He expects us to give Him glory, to give all the glory to Jesus, as the song says. Let's read from St. Matthew's in the 9th chapter, 27th verse. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. You know, I could read quite a bit on down. Boy, it goes on down and it tells how that he cast a devil out and how that different things took place in his ministry. But the thing that's outstanding here is these blind men came to Jesus seeking their sight, and the Lord didn't just turn around and heal the blind men, nor did he just turn around and open their eyes, but he asked of them a question. They said, Master, Lord, heal our eyes, open our eyes, we're blind. Have mercy on us. And then Jesus asked them a question. Why didn't Jesus just turn around and say, I'll heal you, or eyes be open? Why didn't he do that? Why didn't he do that? The blind men followed Jesus, and they said, Lord, have mercy on us. Heal us, Lord, open our eyes. Why did not Jesus just turn around and opened their eyes? You know why he didn't do it? Because he couldn't do it like that. Now in this particular case, he could have done it, but he was trying to show us something. He said, do you believe that I am able to do this? That was the question he asked. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Do you believe that I've got the power and ability to give you back your sight? Do you believe that I can do those things? Do you believe I can do it for you? Now then, I say that he could have turned and healed them to the extent that these men had faith. But on the other hand, had it been two men that did not have faith, he could not have healed them. Because it takes faith in God to be healed. It takes faith. You or me, or whoever, we might as well to make up our mind that we will never be healed until we can believe that He is able to do it. Jesus tried so many times to get this over to people. He said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Or when someone would come to Him and their loved one was hurt or dead, He would say, don't fear, have faith, just believe. See, do you believe that I'm able to do this, Jesus said. And they said, we believe that you're able to do it. He said, all right, I'm going to test you. I'm going to test you. He still didn't turn around and say, be healed. He didn't do that, did he? I'm going to put you to the test. You say that you believe that I'm able to do it, all right, according to your believing. According to what you believe, we're going to see what comes out of it. according to your belief, they apparently believed him. Isn't that right? They apparently was honest. They apparently believed him. Because Jesus never said be healed. He never laid his hands on him and healed him. He just laid his hands on him and he said, now according to your believing, if you've got the right kind of believing, now your sight's going to come back. But if you don't have the right kind of believing, now where would they have been? See, so Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus works on the same principles today. If he doesn't work on the same principles, he could not possibly be the same. He must have the same material to work with. He must have the same frame of mind to work with. Did you know this is a day of unbelief? This is a day of great unbelief. It is such a terrific unbelief that the Bible said it would grow so bad with a sinful and adulterous generation. It would get so bad that if he didn't shorten the days for the elect's sake, there wouldn't be any flesh spared. That is, faith would completely be gone. That there'd be so much condemnation and so much evil and so much sin to kill faith that there wouldn't be any faith in the earth at all. This is what Paul gave as the secret of having the blessings from God. And this is the secret that Paul gave as to have God's favor or to be able to get from God the things that we desired. He said, I strive, I make an effort, I'm diligent. All the time I strive, make a special effort to keep my conscience void of offense. My conscience, void of offense. You know, the statement was made, I lived with you all of this time in good conscience. And the Bible speaks of searing the conscience with a hot iron and getting past feeling. He said, but I've lived with you in a good conscience. And all of these years, I've strived to keep my conscience void of offense toward man and toward God. I don't allow nothing to get between me and God and my feelings. No condemnation, nothing. I don't allow anything to get between me and God. John said, doing the things that please God, hereby we assure our hearts before God. And there is a confidence that comes into our heart that God is listening to us and that God hears us and that God, in that he hears us, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him because we do the things that please him. So then Jesus tested them to see if their conscience was clear, because he knew if their conscience wasn't clear, they could not have faith. The heart wouldn't have faith. And if the heart did not have faith, they did not deserve healing. So he put them to the test to see if they were men of good conscience. And if they were men of good conscience, they had to be walking right before God. And if they walked right before God, they did have a good conscience. And if they had a good conscience, it would produce faith. And the faith in return would bring them their deliverance, because God purifies the heart by faith. And so then they received their healing. Jesus said, do you believe I'm able to do this? They said, Lord, we believe. He said, according to your believing or according to your faith, let it happen to you right now. And the Bible said their eyes came open. How beautiful it is to be able to believe in God. As I spoke a little earlier concerning faith, the strength of my confidence is my hope in the mercies of God by the act of Calvary. That's the strength of my confidence. There remaineth faith, hope, and charity. And my faith worketh by love. So then my confidence in God is that he hears me. And knowing that he hears me, why should he deny me anything? If I'm in hearing distance, or he's in hearing distance, that means we have fellowship one with another. Why then should my heavenly Father refuse me? The Bible says that if you as an earthly parent had a son and the son asked of you food, what would you do? If he asked of you a fish, would you give him a serpent? If he asked of you bread, would you give him a stone? Or if he asked of you something, what would you do? What would you do if your natural child asked you? Now, if he was out of hearing distance, you couldn't hear him, it would be a different thing. You wouldn't know about his plea. If you was out of distance or he was out of distance. But folks, if you could hear that child, if you could hear that son or daughter, and you had it, you'd get to them and you would give it to them. You would give it to them. And the Bible said, if we that are people, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will God give good things to them that ask him? So then if we ask him and we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. Therefore, the Bible says whenever you pray, stand up praying or kneel praying, whenever you pray, search your heart to see if you have anything against anybody. For if you have aught against your fellow man, your conscience won't be clear. And the Bible said, search your heart and see if you be in the faith. Examine yourself. See if there's faith in your heart. And he said, if you pray, then you forgive your fellow man. You forgive him his trespasses, and you forgive him his trespasses from your heart. For it's with the heart that man believeth. You've got to have the right heart condition. So then forgive the man from your heart. Said, for unless you do that, your heavenly Father will not forgive your trespasses. I will not forgive your trespasses if you cannot forgive your fellow man from your heart. See, the thing is, how can God forgive our trespasses? Because it's with the spirit within the heart that we serve God, with the mind as a man thinketh in his heart. With the heart it's our believing. And if the heart isn't right, if the heart isn't clean, if the heart isn't tender, if there's something in there that's unlike God, how can God purify it? Therefore, how can the spirit within or the heart within worship God who is pure? How can light and darkness come together? There isn't any way. So then, when I cleanse my heart, the Bible says that in the day that you seek me with your whole heart, then shall you find me, saith the Lord. To love me with all of your heart, with all of your strength, with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, the eyes of the Lord, those eyes are going to and fro in the earth. And the Bible said they're looking for the upright in heart, that he may, as God, show himself strong in the behalf of the upright in heart. That is, if he can find a pure heart, a clean, godly, upright heart, he will work through that vessel and show himself strong to heal people, to deliver people, to give you the great mind of God, to give you blessings, to give you riches, to give you wealth. The Bible said it is thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. David said, I beseech thee, O Lord, send prosperity. How do you understand what I'm saying? So Jesus said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Abraham, I'll give you a promise. Do you believe, Abraham? I'll give you a promise. I told you what I'd do for you. But now listen, Abraham. If you lean to your own understanding and you consider the body of Sarah, which is now dead, and your own body now dead, my promise can never come to pass. If you lean to your own understanding, you've got to cast down what you think about it. Imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. You've got to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. You've got to believe what I said, I've said about it, and not what you think about it. So then, Abraham, do you believe what I said? The Bible said that Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Abraham, do you believe that I can do this? According to your faith, Abraham, so be it unto you. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday,
the same today to 1,000 generations. The Word, God, unaltered to you and to me in this day. Faith mixed with the Word, and we get the desire of our heart.
Whereas the Bible said concerning the Jews that they did not mix faith with the Word, and therefore the Word was not profitable to them. So then he said, do you believe that I can do this? Just think, that clear conscience, the strength of my believing depends upon my recognition of His love, my understanding of His love, my knowledge of His love. If I know more about Him, if I understand that He's my God, if I understand that He is the God called Jesus, if I understand He's the only God, and if I understand that He loves me, that God is for me, that God is on my side, that God wants me healed. You know, this again is something to consider. Do you believe that I am able to do this? Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that He wants to do it? Do you believe that He wants to do it? Can you show me any place in the Bible where He did not want to do it? There were some places He could not do it. But the Bible said it was because of their unbelief. Because when He said, according to your faith, there was no faith there. You understand what I'm saying? Therefore, do you believe that He wants to do it? When you settle in your mind this one thing, and that is that you genuinely believe that God wants to heal you, that God wants you healthy, that God wants you well, that God don't want you in misery, God don't want you in pain, that there is no pleasure to God from your pains and your misery. But the pleasure that God gets is from your healing and faith to overcome, to stand as a robust person filled with the energy and the long life of God, that you can testify with all of your heart in the fullness of testimony as to His glory and His compassion and His love and the works of Calvary. You believe that? Do you believe that God wants you healed? Somebody would say, I do, Brother Pike. But have you ever searched your mind to see whether or not you really believe that? Do you really believe that? Is there something deep down on the inside where the deep calls to the deep and the water spout of God? Is there something deep down on the inside that says, well, sure, hallelujah, glory to God, because that's what will happen. When you really get to thinking that He wants you healed, when you really get to thinking it not in your head but in your heart, and you really get to thinking that and you really get to believing that, that's faith. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is his believing. So he believes, so he is. That's his nature. So then, do you really believe that? You know why that most of us don't believe it? It's because of condemnation. It's because we don't have a clear conscience. It's because we've cut the corner. It's because we've manipulated. It's because the eyes have looked when they shouldn't have looked. The Bible said the lust of the eyes and the lust of and the pride of life. See, our eyes see something and it lusts after it. The male to the female and the female to the male. And our eyes lust after the things of the world. We see the beauty of the world and the glamour of the world and we're enticed and then we're drawn away. And we desire and we lust and evil enters into our heart. And it brings forth sin unto death. So then this is where our problem is. We've been watching a little something on TV we ought not to watch, knowing that it was wrong, in that the Bible said that we should think on these things and have virtue, these things that are lovely, these things that are godly, that we should add brotherly love and godliness and holiness and patience and righteousness and all these wonderful things. See, but we don't do that, do we? Got to watch a little bit of TV on the side, and besides that, this little bit won't hurt because this ain't what the preacher was talking about anyway. Paul said, all things don't edify. All things are not expedient. All things, it doesn't build my faith. I am not in bondage, Paul said. I am persuaded to believe there's nothing unclean to the righteous. But the man of condemnation and defiled conscience, everything, he said. With a defiled conscience, everything
is unclean to him. Even his conscience is defiled. So then the question arises, what's wrong with me? Someone would say. Is it not because we have defiled the conscience? Isn't our problem that we looked at something, we read a few magazines, had to hear a little joke on the side, had to laugh a little bit, had to give another little joke in return, carry on a little foolishness, got a little bit too interested in making money and got a little bit too interested in our business, spent too much time in the carnal mind and in the natural, and so then our faith isn't sufficient, our shield of faith isn't sufficient, eating and drinking and stuffing ourselves, not talking to God, not seeking God, not fellowshipping God, whereas the Bible said that my people have forgotten me days without number. The ox knoweth its owner. The ass, they know their crib. But he said, my people have forgotten. They've forgotten. And they've committed the two great evils. They have hewn them out cisterns, even broken cisterns that won't hold water. And he said, besides that, they have forsaken the living God. So then, why is it that we do not believe that God wants us healed? Because Lucifer is working in the flesh and he's standing there with the regularity. He says, you know, you hypocrite, you know, you hypocrite, you know, you hypocrite. Do you think God's going to do something for you? You know, you hypocrite, that God isn't going to do it. He's standing there all the time beating on you. He's standing there all the time harassing your mind. And every time you say, God loves me, he'll say, you hypocrite, you know what you've done. And you can't shake it out. So you can't shake it out. Somebody's lying to believe that. You might not intellectually try to believe that, but the heart doesn't work that way. You can say in your intellect, I'm not going to believe that all day long. But that heart will say, you hypocrite, you know you ain't right. You know what you've done. See, but when you get away with God, and you walk with God, and you cast down all of your imagination, and you bring all of your thoughts into the connection with God and under submission to the Word, and you meditate in His laws day and night, then you get a conscience that's clear. You get a heart that's clean. And then when you think about God, you think about God as your friend. And you think about God as one that loves you. And you get to thinking, God wants me healed. God's my fellow. Abraham, you're my friend. Walk with God. Don't walk in the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. And you'll not fulfill the desire, the lust of the flesh. And the Bible said, whatever you ask in my name, I'll give it to you. For he that abideth in my word, and my word abideth in him. Or that is, he that abideth in the ordinance that I've ordained, wherein he should walk. In the Spirit and not in the flesh. That is, in the Word, which is Spirit and life. And if this Word of Spirit and life, this directional Word, this correctional Word, if it abides within you and you don't throw it out and you don't try to evade it and you don't try to manipulate and you don't try to get around it. He said, if it abides in you, I'll tell you, you can ask anything you want. I will do it. And did you know when he said that? Have you ever thought about the strength of that? God who made heaven and earth, God who can't lie, God who said my word can't be altered, and God who said my word can't be changed. He said, I will do it. And it's all yea and amen. Somebody said, well, yeah, I know. You know, you need to clean up. You need to get your conscience straight now. God said, I will do it. And brother, that settles it. That settles it. Say, well, we've got to understand it. We've got to figure it out. There's nothing to it. He said it. He'll do it. Every jot and tittle, if it don't come to pass in my life, if it don't come to pass in your life, it's because we're not upright before God. God will not change it one iota. God will not nullify the Word. God will not alter the Word. You know, this is what's wrong with the church today. They have been so wishy-washy and so double-minded and so unstable until they've got to thinking that God is just some kind of a something that spins around spastically or sporadically. He gives us a promise and it might happen and it might not. And if you're lucky, then you'll hit it just like they do out in the gambling centers. You know, out in the gambling centers, you spin the wheel, and if it stops on you, you're the lucky one. But you know, a lot of times behind the scene, there's somebody that's got a hold of the right thing and knows when to push the button to stop it. Now that man can stop it on anything he wants to because he's in control of it. Did you know that God still got some people that can stop it wherever they want it? And did you know that God is the God that can stop it whenever he wants to? And on whomsoever he wants to? And did you know that God is no respecter person, and God has said to Brother Pike, and God has said to the audience of Little Bethlehem, and God has said to the people around the world, if thou canst believe, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Do you believe that I want to do this? Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe that I want to do this? Do you believe that I want to do it? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Did you know that when you settled that in your heart, that the biggest part of your battle is won? When you settled it in your heart that God wants you to be healed? I don't care how much you pray. I don't care how much you give. I don't care how much you come to church. I don't care how much you fast. It isn't going to do you any good at all. The Bible said, when you pray, believe. It didn't say when you pray fast. It said, when you pray, believe. And all things that you ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive them. If thou canst believe in thine heart and doubt not, do your diligence to keep your heart, because out of it comes the issues of life. Every day the issues of life comes. Whatever comes out of your heart determines your blessings, determines your walk of life, determines the way God's going to deal with you. Out of the heart comes evil thoughts of fornication and adultery and blasphemy. And all of those evil things come out of the heart. These defile a man, Jesus said. So do thy diligence to keep thine heart. Try to walk upright before God. Strive always to keep your conscience void of offense toward man and God. Do the things John said that please God, that you might convince your heart, that you might have confidence in God. Your confidence is that he wants to heal you. Your confidence is that he loves you and that he's for you and he's trying his best to reach you, and that he went all the way down to Calvary to spill his blood just to be friends with you and to make friends with you. What else can God do to prove to you that he loves you, that he wants you healed, that he's done it all for you? What else can God do? There's nothing else he can do. Did you know tonight, if he was here, he couldn't do nothing else. If the Lord Jesus Christ stood in your midst tonight, he could do nothing else for you other than what's already been done. Everything that is to be done for you was done in Calvary, and there is not one thing that God can do but what he's already done. By his stripes you were already healed. The Bible said, because of Calvary you pass from death unto life. And all the blessings and prosperity, everything, I've given you all things that pertain unto life. All of it's in Calvary. He could not do anything, but he could preach to you the same way I'm preaching to you and say, if thou canst believe, if thou canst believe, do you believe that I'm able to do this, Jesus said? Do you believe it? The average person doesn't believe that anybody's able to do that. Sin and adultery, the things of this world, the things of this life. If thou canst believe, if you can believe. You know, the thing that brought healing to Gary's daughter was she said, if you'll come and pray for me. If you'll come and pray for me. We've met people like that around the different parts of the world, and here in the United States. We've met people like that. Said, if you'll just pray for me. If I can just get over there and he'll pray for me. Like a woman in this meeting up here. She made the statement that something was wrong with her hand. And she felt like if she could just get to us and we'd pray for her, she'd be all right. So she got to thinking about us coming and that she was going to get prayed for. And she got so carried away that the testimony come back that she was healed before I got there. See, it was her faith in God that did that. God's faith in you. God's love towards you. I believe. Do I believe that he wants me to be well and healthy? Think over it now. Do I really believe that God wants me to be healthy and that God wants me to be well? I do believe that. I believe that. I believe that God wants me to be healthy. So I'm going to persevere. I'm going to drive and I'm going to go forth like the vision was of Brother Al Gonzalez. In the vision, he went forth. He had perseverance. He determined in his mind he was going to be healed. You know, to do that, you've got to believe that God's with you. You can determine in your mind all you want to that you're going to be healed. But as long as there's a condemnation, as long as the conscience is void of confidence, you're not going to be able to do it. How can you wrestle against God? You've got to believe that God's on your side. You've got to believe that God's for you. It's like a windstorm. It's like a tornado. The wind is whirling around and you say, I command you not to do it. I command you not to do it. Wind, don't you knock this building down. You might as well leave, folks. Because if that tornado is coming in this direction, the building's gone. You know, if you're standing there saying, you can't come here. I adjure you. I charge you. You can't do it. And all the time you're thinking, well, God's going to get us. God's going to get us. Man, here it comes. I knew it'd get here someday. You might as well have quit. You better get on the run and get somewhere. Get you a hole or do something. Because that tornado ain't going to pay no attention to you at all. It's coming right on. But brother, let me tell you something. When you get a clear conscience like Jesus, and you step up on that little boat, and you stick your hand up like that, and you say to that wind, you say, wait a minute. I'm in command here. We won't have none of that today. It'll go on its way. You say, oh no, Brother Pike. Oh yes, I've had it to happen numbers of times. Numbers of times. I remember Sister Betty and myself coming down a little road from Indiana, or coming down from Ohio down to Indiana, along the little old road along the river. And the wind was just tearing everything up and breaking limbs off and throwing it out into the road. And the rain vehemently beating down upon the windshield, and the wind's fierce. And I stuck my hand up to the windshield and I said, I command you in the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, peace be still. And it stopped. It stopped. And we went on our way. See, if I believe that God is for me, my battle is half won. If I believe God, more than half won. If I believe that God wants me healed, and to believe that, I've got to walk upright. I've got to do right. I've got to get my conscience clear. I've got to do the things that please God to assure my heart, John said, so that this confidence will be there. John said, if you do the things that please Him, confidence will come up in your heart. And when that confidence comes up in your heart that He is listening to you, that He hears you, then you automatically know that you've got the petition of Him. See, the one that you desire of Him. Because if He hears you, that's it. Because if you're in hearing distance, that means everything's all right between you and Him. So you know that you got it. So let's do the things that please Him. That's why the preacher preaches holiness. That's why the preacher preaches against the ball games. All things are not expedient. All things do not edify. I don't want the carnal mind. I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't want to be carnally minded unto death. I want to be spiritually minded unto life. So then, my faith in God depends upon my recognition of His love and my acceptance of His love and my confidence in His love to the extent that I believe that He's for me, that He did all of these things for me, and that they are freely given to me in Christ, and that He gave the best thing that heaven could afford. Not one thing will He hold back. How many of you realize that Jesus the Christ in your behalf was the best thing that heaven could afford and was the ultimate of God's love toward humanity? How then can you believe that there's anything else that He will not give you? Anything is less than what He's already given you. That's why the Bible said He has blessed us with all heavenly blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and that you are God's workmanship in Christ. You are the predestinated sons and daughters of God. You are complete in Him. God has by His faith given you all things and sanctified you by His faith and perfected you forever, that He'd never be upset with you again. For He was delivered for your offenses and raised again for your justification. That all of your offenses are behind you, and now you are justified in His sight by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that through faith and believing in His mercy. So then faith that worketh by love means that I must believe in God's love. I must believe in God's love. I must believe in God's love. See, I must understand God's love. I must believe in His love toward me. And the more I believe in His love, as I stated the other night, you take a father, you take a son. That son, if he wants to drive that father's car, if that son wants to have the benefits that the father will give him, he's got to please the father. Because the more he pleases the father, the more he's confident he's going to get the keys. The more the father likes him, the more the father thinks of him, the more he feels like he's going to be able to drive dad's car and get dad to give him a little extra money on the side. He knows dad isn't going to refuse him. Let a son get in close to the mother, and I don't care how much he says no, after a while she'll say, well, maybe. And he'll get what he wants. See, his confidence in her love. His confidence in her love. See, I do the things that please God, so I have a confidence in His love. I just feel like He loves me, He's with me, He's for me, He's my friend. He wants me to be healthy and happy. He wants my family to be healthy and happy. He wants to bless me and my children, natural children and spiritual children. Why do I feel that way? I say to myself, dear God, how could I feel any other way? If I went over here to Brother Cobb's, or Brother Armstrong, Brother Bradley, or some of these other brethren, Brother Hollis. And I say, look, brother, you didn't know this, did you? You see what they've done to me day before yesterday? Look at these awful holes in my hands. And besides that, look at these holes in my feet. And have you noticed the holes all in my head? And have you seen this big place where they cut me in my side? And have you noticed my back, how it's just laying open to the bone? Have you seen where they just took my beard out if I had one? You know, how did they just pluck it out by the roots? Have you seen this? Have you noticed that my countenance is marred more than any man that you ever seen? You know why I did this, Brother Hollis? I did this because I loved you. They were coming to get you. And you was asleep and didn't know nothing about it. You was helpless. And I got there just before they got in the door. And this is what happened to me. But did you know I defeated them and you're all right? Now, could you believe it, Brother Hollis would go away saying, well, I'm in for it now. I know he'll get me when he gets a chance. Boy, he'll lay the whip on me now. Could you believe he would think like that? Could you think that Brother Hollis would go away saying, man, I better go around the corner because he's sitting in a window with a sawed-off shotgun. He's after my hide. Can you imagine a person thinking like that of God after what God has tried to do to prove His fellowship and love for you? You know what it is? Somebody would say, Brother Pike, why do I think like that? Why do I do that? It's because Satan is interwoven with your flesh from the fall in the garden and because of your first birth. And he's forever accusing God to you and accusing you to God. And he's forever discouraging you and giving you discouraging visions and discouraging dreams and ever pouncing on you and ever causing you to listen to somebody that tears your morale down. And he's always talking, but don't believe that. Don't lean to your own understanding. Don't listen to those things. Take what God's Word says about it. Build up your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Tell God you love Him. Study God's Word and believe God's Word and let every man be a liar. And let the filthy dreamers go their way and you believe God. And you believe what God said about your healing and your love and your blessing. And you zero in on that, as we say. And you take that as your staff of comfort. And you walk with God as the confidence that He is yours. And that you are His. And that He took away your offenses. And now you're justified in His sight. To the extent that you can come boldly before the throne of grace and receive help in the time of need. Place your confidence in His love. Faith can rest on nothing but love. Place your confidence in the love of God and watch faith work by love. Watch faith escalate. Watch it lift itself up and watch it become a shield against all the fire darts of the wicked. Get to where you love God so and believe that He loves you so that every time the devil will throw a fire dart, it just quenches it like that. You can't get past those promises. The devil says, you're in for it. You say, The Bible said all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. I love the Lord. It's quenched. And on down, you know, until finally all of it's gone. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The devil jumps on him with a regularity, but God delivereth him out of them all. So then, God wants you healthy and God wants you well. And God wants to heal you. God wants you to give a little time to Him. To where you can fast and pray and come together with God. And come together with God's people. You're too busy to go to bed. You're too busy to go to eat. You're too busy to be over here and too busy to be over there. You've got God on a timepiece. And God is not going to fit your timepiece. God's got business to take care of. And if you don't have time to listen, you have to go take care of your business. Because God's going to continue His business. Moses took a little time. Somebody said he held too long. I guess he did, 40 days. And then when he come back down, he said, I got to start all over and take another 40 days before I can get through. Couldn't put him on a timepiece, could you? You couldn't do it according to man's calculation and speculation, could you? See, there was no way. You know, folks, that's the reason man is dying today, because he is connected with timepieces and time element. And he can't get out from under the control of time. And time is killing him. You've heard me say this. I stood and I looked at a clock on the wall. And I watched the big second hand and I stood there. And all of a sudden I was spellbound, because I heard something speak to me. And I heard something say, you see the little hand jumping with a regularity. It's jumping from 1 second to another. And I thought, I see that. And I heard something say, it's ticking your life away. And I thought, wait a minute, that thing needs to stop. Wait a minute. But it didn't stop. I thought, wait a minute, what can I do? And all the time I was saying, wait a minute, within my heart, it was still ticking my life away. And by the time I got reconciled is to say, you know, how do you deal with this? How do you reckon for this? How do you stop this? By the time I got through with that, it done ticked a whole lot of my life away. And I said, my God, it never dawned on me. But that little timepiece is ticking my life away. I'm now 20 seconds nearer death than I was just a few minutes ago. I'm now 20 seconds older than I was a few seconds back, that is. Not minutes, but seconds. And I thought, as it went on to the minutes, I'm now a few minutes older than I was. And then the hours, I'm now a few hours older than I was. And I'm nearer death. And that much of my life is gone. I'll never retrace my footsteps. I'll never get it back. And see, while you sit in service, it's ticking, ticking, ticking. It's ticking your life away. But you know, when you're born again and you become eternal, you get out of that old carnal mind of I've got to do this and I've got to do that, and he's had 15 minutes and he don't need but 20 minutes and it's time to go. And you get away from that kind of thing. Then you get born again. To be carnal minded is death. You know, I'm going to say something here. I guess I better not get into this, but at least I'm going to say something. I wanted to get into it, but I think I've already been put on the timetable already. It sure been bad if Paul had had some of these people that put him on a timetable. But anyway, light came into the heart, and light came into the mind, and light came into the spirit, because the scales fell from their eyes. As I said, I believe it was this morning, going down to the street called Straight, recognizing who God is, finding redemption in His name. Light. I would love to have took about an hour just to talk about something here concerning light. You say, what do you mean light, Brother Pike? Well, a lot of times, you know, we speak about life and death. And when they put you on a timetable, you know, you have to quit. They turn you off. But you know what? I speak a lot of times to you about life and death. And like I told my wife, I said, it doesn't matter. You know, whether anybody believes that or not, that's not important. Only to the extent that they need to believe it for their salvation. But on the other hand, you know, I speak of life and death. As to what causes death? Why do people die? Why is it people can't live? Like the song I wrote a long time ago, and the verse says, why are people born?
And why do people die? I wondered. I wrote the song because I wondered. Why are people born? And why do people die? And one day God told me. And you know there's a reason. There is a spiritual reason why people die. But did you know there's also a natural reason why people die? Why is it? There is a natural reason. There is a natural explanation. There is a natural understanding. When I say that, I mean something that's given of God that is spiritual, that can explain it in natural terms, so that the person that has understanding can hear and can know. So if there is a natural reason, that is a natural explanation as to a spiritual understanding that brings it about, why that men die, then there must be also an explanation of how men can continue to live. There must be. There must be. This is why that I say a lot of times we're getting closer. But see, you've got the preacher on a timetable. You've got your program. And this is where the problem's always been. Because you have your way and you have your plans. And you have your programs. God lets you go on with your programs. And lets you go on with your plans. And therefore, He never shares it with you. He just lets you go on and do what you want to. Though the preacher a lot of times may have the words of life for you. He may have the answer to your situation and your problem. But see, if you don't have the time, if you can't listen, if you're not given to it, then that means that God can't do anything for you. But let's just let this suffice tonight as to saying that faith worketh by love. And do you believe that He's able to do this? Do you believe that He wants to do it? Have you ever convinced yourself that He wants you healthy every day of your life and happy? I'm sure that you feel like He does after He runs you through the fire of about 40 to 50 years. And then you're going to find out after that 50 years, you think you've still got a little time left that He's got to run you through the fire. See, do you really believe that He is able to do it? We're living in a world here to where we are separated from the supernatural so far as our human intellect. So then we must believe Him into power in our life. We've got to believe that when two or three are here, that He's in the midst and He don't like for you to put Him on a timetable. To say, I know that you're here because at least two or three of them here in your name. And I know that you're here, but after all, I think you've took long enough. In that you do it to the least, you do it to Him. Isn't that terrible? Isn't that horrible? Can anybody be born again and do those things? Of course not. There ain't no way. They might be intellectually religious, but not born again. There ain't no possible way. When a person thinks like that, that same person, if you'll check them out, they'll do other things. They'll do other things. They'll get angry. They'll have temper. They will disrobe themselves at times when they ought not. They'll have too much interest in the opposite sex. They'll have a little something on the side that hinders them when it comes to the love of money. Check them out. You know what it is? They are a believer, but they don't have the Spirit of God. They've never been born again. They've never been filled with the wonderful Holy Ghost of God. And you'll find they never do anything for God so far as being responsible. All right. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to try to close. If you believe that He wants you to be happy, I would above all things that you be in health and that you prosper, even as your soul prospereth. That's the Word of God. I would above all things that you be in that condition. Can you believe that I mean that? That applies to you without respect to person? And then can you actually believe in your heart that God wants you delivered from fears and frustration and poverty? Do you actually believe that He can do it in this world?
Do you believe that he can do it? Since you're down here and we say he's up there, can you ever believe that he's inside of you or that he's in the midst of you and that he can do it? Do you believe I'm able to do this thing? Do you believe this thing could actually happen to you? Do you actually believe that strong? Are you strong in faith or weak in faith? Not trying to get more faith, just some strength for it. The works that you do strengthens that believing. It gives you the confidence of strength. And the more you do toward being like God and conforming to Him and giving Him of your time, the stronger your faith is going to be. Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory unto God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Do you believe I can do this? Do you believe that I can do it? Jesus said, do you believe I can do it? That's where it is right there, folks. If thou canst believe, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, ye shall have it. Doesn't matter what it is. Decree a thing in your heart, and it will come to pass. You know, some people believe so little that they never even try that. Did you know that? They never practice that. They never try believing. They never make no effort. They never put their faith to the exchanges. They never do that. They believe so little that they never bother themselves in even trying to do it. Somebody said, but you don't understand, Brother Pike. I try. I went a whole hour, and it didn't happen. Somebody said, I went longer than that. I went 3 hours, and it didn't happen. You went 3 hours trying to believe. And if you'd went about 15 or 20 hours and put some prayer in there and some communication with God, you'd have finally convinced your heart and persuaded your heart that what the Bible said is true. And then something would have happened to you. But you didn't have enough perseverance. Daniel said, I believe it's just like God said it is. I believe, and I'm going to get that answer because I'm going to stay right here till I do get it. And he went without food and whatever until he convinced his heart that what God said he meant, and when he convinced his heart, it was just like that. Even though the angel said, Daniel, I heard thee the first day. The first day. Oh, beloved man of God, your conscience was clear. I heard you. I just had an interference with the devil, that's all. When I started coming down to answer the prayer, there was a battle in heaven. There was war in heaven. So by the power of the great, wonderful Holy Ghost in the day we're living in, you don't have to worry about that war in that way. You just lock in with faith and you'll have your answer. Let's stand together. Some of them were shocked in the Tennessee meeting the other night when I made this statement. I told them, in essence, that they were not going to heaven without the Holy Ghost. So many words I said, you're not going to get to heaven without the Holy Ghost. You know, some say, well, you're a believer, and some's got the Holy Ghost, and some this way and some that way. I said, no, you're not going to get to heaven if you don't have the Holy Ghost. Why? Why is it that you can't get to heaven without the Holy Ghost? The same thing that keeps you from getting the Holy Ghost is the same thing that keeps you out of heaven. You say, what is that, Brother Pike? Disobedience. You might believe. The Bible said if you do believe there's one God, you do well. The devil, he believes too. He's a believer to that extent. But said the devil don't serve God, so vain man, you've got to get some works. You got to conform to his will and desire. You understand what I'm saying? The same thing that keeps you from getting God's Spirit will keep you out of heaven. What is that? Disobedience. Disobedience. Why do you say that, Brother Potter? Because the Bible says that God gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey Him. If He doesn't give you the Holy Ghost, it's plain that you are not obeying Him. You're cutting around the corner. You're manipulating. You're doing something somewhere. And that same disobedience that kept you from getting His Spirit kept you out of heaven. For the Bible said there's but one Spirit. That's the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Ghost. God giveth the Holy Ghost to them that obey Him. He is the Spirit of truth that shall return into your heart. For if I go away, I send a Comforter. He will come unto you. The world cannot receive Him because they see Him not. But you see Him and know Him, and He shall be in you. And He shall testify of the Word, that is of Me, when He comes. He will give a testimony from your heart to the Word. For it's the Spirit of the Word, for Christ was the Word. So then faith in the Word brings you the life of the Word. For it's words of Spirit and life, and the life of it is the Holy Ghost. The life of it is the Spirit of the Word. That's what it is. So then, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Paul said in the 19th chapter of Acts, up the coast of Ephesus, to those that have been baptized in John's baptism. Have you received His Spirit? There's but one Spirit. If you have not my Spirit, you're none of mine. That's the one Spirit. If you have not that Spirit, you're none of His. So then we must obey God. We must love the Lord. I know, as I said up yonder, there's a lot of ritualistics. There's a lot of ways. People say you've got to do this to have the infilling of the Spirit. You've got to do that to have the infilling of the Spirit. And they got just numbers of things that you've got to do. But there ain't but one thing you've got to do. God is love, and faith works by love. And when you believe, the Spirit of God comes into your heart. All you've got to do to get the Spirit of God is to obey God. Somebody said, well, that means you got to speak in tongues. It didn't say anything about that. He did not say He give the Holy Ghost to them that speak in tongues. He said, I give the Holy Ghost to them that obey me. When you get God's Spirit in your heart, you can speak in tongues and you can pray for the sick and you can work miracles and you can do anything, because that's Christ. And all things are possible to you because it proves you're a believer and you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Your spirit is sealed to where nothing can touch at you without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Perfected forever. See, when that Spirit comes into your heart, according to your measure, according to your growth, according to where you're just a babe with the infilling of the Spirit, or whether you have graduated as to a greater measure, or as to a greater means from glory to glory, as to a greater measure of His stature. And as to the measure of His stature, so is the power in your life. As to the conformity, so is the measure. And God administers unto you accordingly, and you administer unto the people accordingly, as to the virtue or the measure in your body. Let's sing this little chorus together. The Lord is for you. The Lord loves you. The Lord wants to help you. The Lord wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. If you've got faith tonight, give it a good foundation. Find out the promises of God and entrust in the love of God, that what He has said He's able to perform and that He desires to perform it. They said, Lord, we want to be clean. He said, I will that you be clean. It's my desire. I'm not against you. If you want to be clean from your leprosy, that's okay with me. I want it like that too. And the Bible said He went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for the Spirit was in him, or God was with him. What about today? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not one change. He hasn't changed, folks. The same God that translated Enoch by faith, He hasn't changed. Then what is it that's changed? The Bible said His Word is the same unto 1,000 generations. What is it that's changed? You put Him on a timetable. You're dealing with Him in your carnal mind. You use Him instead of letting Him use you. You got your plans and programs, and you try to work Him in with your plans and programs instead of doing like the prophets and let Him work you in with His plans and programs. And you try to use Him as to go where you want to and take Him with you, when He would like to go where He wants to and take you with Him. When Ezekiel was picked up in the air and set down in the valley of dry bones, Ezekiel didn't just jump up in the air and say, come on, I'm going over here, and you go with me. But God said to Ezekiel, I'm going over here, you come and go with me. You know, it had been something if it had been reversed, and Ezekiel had tried to take God with him by that same means. You know, he'd have still been praying today, and it still wouldn't have worked. But just yielding, like Elijah, the fire chariot came, and away he went. Let's sing that little chorus. Well, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming to carry me over was the band of angels coming after me, coming to
to carry me home. Swing low, oh sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming too. They're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home.
You know, that is really going to happen. Did you know that? Those fiery chariots are around somewhere. Those prancing horses are around somewhere. I might not see them, and you might not see them, but they're still around. They're still around somewhere. And they're waiting for you to step on board. Just waiting for you to step on board. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, you're coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming too. They're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Tonight, how many of you really believe? Do you really believe tonight? You know, I said the other night, I asked this question that is the other night. I asked the question, do you really believe that you are a son of God? Has it ever dawned on you what a son of God is? That a son of God is one with all authority and all power over heaven and over earth, to command the sun and the moon and the waters, to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, to raise the dead, to unstop the deaf ears, to open the eyes of the blind, to have our heart's desire, to be about our Father's business. I'm going to pray for the little one. He looks like he might be having problems. Is he, Tom? Okay. What has he done? Has he hurt his arm or something? Is that right? The collarbone, maybe? Let's pray and ask God. I was fixing to say, I thought that we had prayed for him before for that same thing. Let's pray and ask God to do something for the little fellow. He's broke his collarbone before and God has healed him. Let's ask God to do something about it. Got another little fellow here. You probably don't remember this. Another little fellow, we prayed for him. He broke his collarbone. We prayed for him, and I told the parents that God had healed him. And one night, there was another evangelist here, and the mother was upset at me. And she brought the boy up here out of contrariness. Made the audience think that God had inspired her to bring the kid up here. And it was really grievous to me. Not in the sense that I cared about the evangelist, you know, and others praying, because we had numbers of people that come up, and he prayed. But because I caught the spirit of it. It was a spirit of spite.
Whereas to show you that it was wrong and it wasn't right, the kid was healed, and then she still wanted to give credit to the evangelist. Whereas that was all right because we was looking for God to do it anyway. But the same evangelist turned out to be a whoremonger, wrecked his home and another home and many homes, and was in the mire. But God healed the kid. You know, the Bible says that the parents have eaten sour grapes, and because of that, the children turned out to be hippies. All that is, the children's teeth are on edges. But folks, we need to live right. Did you know that? We need to live right. There is such a thing as living right. Father God of heaven, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we've had some good reports on your mending bones. And it was said, Lord, that not a bone in your body was broken. And dear God, this little fellow has faith. We prayed for him before. Don't let him be in this pain, because it's not your will for him to be in this pain. It's your will for him to be healthy and happy and whole. It's your will for this bone to heal up and never break again. It's your will, because you bore his pain at Calvary. You bore it at Calvary, Father, so that he wouldn't have to bear it. And you want him healed, and I feel you healing him. Mend that little bone. Make it well. Let it hurriedly go back together. Move this pain tonight. Lord, one touch of your hand can shift the bones away from the nerves. And dear God, do away with the pain. Now I'm asking you to do it tonight in the name of your lovely Son, Jesus. In your lovely name. We believe, Father. We believe that you're able to do it. We believe that you want to do it. We believe that you are doing it. Because if you said if we ask it in your name, you would do it. So we believe in the name of Jesus. How many of you believe that God did that? Truly believe from your heart. Okay. Look at me, sonny boy. Now already, can you tell any difference truthfully? He says he can. I don't believe he would lie about it, but you wouldn't lie to me, would you? You really? Huh?
He hurt us bad.
I think it's wonderful, don't you? When we started to pray for him, you could feel faith in the little boy's heart. We've got some children here at Bethlehem that really have faith. Did you know that? I prayed for a little woman over at the Tennessee meeting. She come up to the altar and she knelt down at the altar and I prayed for her. And while I was praying for the other, she got up and she come over to me. And she said, I took my hearing aid out and said, I can't hear. And she said, I guess the Lord just don't want me to hear. After I'd preached like I'd preached. After I'd said what I said. Can you imagine anybody thinking like that? She was going to test God, so she took a hearing aid out. And then as she took it out, she said, you know, that's it. I said, no, that's not right at all. So I caught her, not knowing what she heard or whatever. I caught her like that, and I prayed again. I said, we'll pray again. And then when I prayed again, I backed away from her and began to talk with her. And she began to grin and began to talk back or begin to answer. You know, God wants us healed. God wants us healed. You know, if people have a hearing problem, God wants them to hear. He doesn't want them to be like that. You know, I've been blessed. I've really been blessed. I've been blessed to understand the human makeup. I've been blessed to understand the human ear, the hearing, all the way through, every bit of it, from the drum to the hammer, to everything that's in that ear. And I've been blessed to understand the heart and all that's in the heart. And I've been blessed to know from the cranium all the way down to the feet what is in there, in the interior, as to the glandular parts and where their position and the secretion that they give off and the purpose of it and the functioning of the human body.
I've been blessed. I've been blessed. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. And with that, you know, it's all right. God doesn't mind us knowing that. With that, I know when I look at a person, I know what's going on physically. This girl right here that's had the esophagus problem, I know where the esophagus starts, and I know where it ends. And I know the functioning of it. And I know what the doctors did when they got in there, if it's according to what she said. I understand that. And David said, I'm wonderfully made. I'm wonderfully made. Isn't that beautiful? I'm wonderfully made. I pray for the sick, and even when I pray for them, I could look at them physically and tell a lot of things because of God's goodness to me. But see, God heals by faith. God wants to correct the order or correct those little things that's in disorder. The little things, God wants to correct them. The little things in the body, He wants to correct them. It's His will to correct them. And it's nothing but mind over matter. It's mind over matter. Even scientists can take and just melt down metals or elements that's in the ground because of their mind and understanding over the forms of matter. And I'm going to say this not to get into these things, because in these is where the secret of life and death is. But we've taught a little bit on the cosmic energy and spoke of what it has to do with. One of these days, if the Lord's will and nothing happens, maybe we'll get a chance, it is, to go through the thing to where we can understand. And it'd be a great inspiration to you. And maybe the Lord will allow us to get into the thing concerning life and death. But people with all of their glandular parts, like the girl that came to me up yonder, she said, the doctors can't do nothing for me. Said they said I have a glandular condition, and she's real thin and run down. And she was crying. And she looked like the whole world had caved in on her. Whereas God healed her while we were standing there. I'm expecting a report from him. I'm expecting to hear from him. God healed the girl. Somebody said, well, you don't know that. Yes, I do know that. God healed the girl. Just like I know I passed from death unto life. Do you know that you passed from death unto life? You can't prove it by not going and be putting in a casket. Because they're going to put you in a casket if Jesus tarries. But there is a way you can prove it. See, just as I know that I passed from death unto life, I know that God healed the girl. There's a way to know. If I know about human physics, and it's an ABC 1, 2, 3, then in God's world there is also a 1, 2, 3, an ABC, as to that which is in order and that which is in line. If God so made the natural body in such perfect order and such perfect coordination and such perfect functioning, why is it that we believe that the spiritual world is so sporadic in its doings and that it's just a hit and a miss and just can't tell or don't know or never will understand? Why do we think like that? You know, I say this sometimes in teaching. I start here, and I got a skull here. I got what we call a cranium here. Just under that, we've got what we call the dura mater. And just under that, we have what we call the aeronaut in here, which is a fine web-like membrane that forms a little wall. Underneath that, we have a sub that forms on the other side. And it makes a little channel through the brain. Up under that, we've got something that's called the pia mater, with little things that hang down, about like this little thing in your throat here that we speak of sometimes. In here, under that, we've got what we call the cerebrum, which is the brain. And back here, the cerebellum. Up here, the fornix. We have this here, and we have the pineal back here, and the thalamus around where the third ventricle is. And then we have the hypothalamus, and then we have the pituitary gland. And we come on down, you know, and we could just go on and go on right on down through the different parts. And each thing to the thyroid and the thymus, and on down to the lung and the hearts and the trachea
and here, and the bronchial tubes and the little bronchial branches, and right on down to the part in the body here that we call the diaphragm, and the heart, and the aorta that comes down to it in here, and the cardiac veins that run across here, and on down into the kidneys and the adrenal glands, and on over to the spleen, and back to the stomach, and across with the pancreas, and on and on and on and on. Right on down. You know, you come on down with those things, right on down to the cocci, and right on down to the sacrum, right on down to the duodenum, and right on down to the cecum, right on down to the intestines, and right on down to the colon, right on down to the bladder, right on down to the urethra, and right on down, you come to, well, there's a number of things that when it comes to male and female, that things change. But we say the testes and scrotum as to the male. And we come on down with many things, you know, that we could go on and on because we're wonderfully made. But if that is in perfect order in the way that we're speaking, why is it that the spiritual man isn't the same? And if I can understand that in perfect order of a natural man or a physical man, why is it that I can't understand that in the spiritual man? You know what I do? Just as I understand the natural, so I understand the spiritual. That's why that we can deal with it, and that's why we can preach it, and that's why we can do the things that God said. If a natural physician through his learning can have confidence to deal with those things and know what to do, then couldn't we the more? Couldn't we? If I'm a composition, as we say, of 49,390,000,000 vibrations, and my wife of the same, except 370. And if I understand that out of that, that even my little red cells or hemoglobins that's produced from my bones, that they also are accounted for as vibrations. If I understand that, then that means that I can get down into the minute. I can get down into the minute to understand life and death. Can go right down into the intricate part. 85,500,000 of vibrations per second. And I've got a blood cell. If I can take a color like the color red and define it as to 8,000 units. 8,000 units to explain the vibration of color in an interwoven thing like a loom in a woof in the crossing up as it goes this way to and fro. To explain it, that's how we get color, and that's where color comes from. And that with red we say 8,000 vibrations times 10 million. Of units, or AUs. See, to break it down to understand, knowing that everything in the entire universe is nothing but vibrations, and that cosmic energy, as we understand, as cosmic energy, that it is the basis of life, that there is nothing that exists in form, or nothing that is active in the universe, except it be vibrations. Then that means that we know where to go from there. If we can come down that far, then we get to what we call the quickening spirit. Everything is the quickening, as Paul said. And then when we get there, if we understand, we can go right on into infinity, and we can tell where life comes from, we can tell where death comes from, and we can tell you exactly how it gives life and why that death sets in and why it sets in at a certain age or why it happens the way it does and how that it can be brought back. You say, I don't believe that. Well, it's true. Whether you believe it or not, it's true. I want to pray for her because she's got problems. The doctors cut on her and they messed her esophagus up as far as I understand, according to what she said. And it's critical. It's bad. She's been getting along a whole lot better. But she's still got problems. When doctors start cutting on you,
his problems, folks. That's why the Bible said, cursed is the man that leaneth upon the arm of flesh or goeth down to Egypt for his help. You understand what we're saying? To get knowledge, knowledge puffeth up. But charity edifies. But God doesn't care if you have the knowledge. He'll give you all the knowledge that you want. All that you can have. As long as you don't misconstrue faith and the greatness of God with knowledge or science falsely so called. And you understand what you're doing and where you're going. And as the world says, where you're coming from. You can be an instrument for God if you want to. Let's believe. Let's pray. The question arises, does God want the girl healed? Does he want her well? Sure he does. If I understand God like I understand the human physics, then it's in order. I understand that he wants her healed. I have a reason for that. I can go back with the 1, 2, 3 and put it in order as to the alphabetical ABC, and I come right to the place that it says, I want her healed. So then if we know that, we can put a positive confidence in that. And if she can also put a positive confidence in that and push condemnation away, for this is what a problem is. She's having problems. And the problems is condemnation. She wants to go on with God. She wants to do right. But she knows in her heart that she didn't do it when she was well. And now that this thing has happened to her, the condemnation of it is, it is so crushing because she wants to go on with God now. But the devil keeps hammering on her. You know, and you're only doing this because, you know, if you're going to die, then you're doing this because you know you're going to die and it's not really out of your heart and you really don't love me and you really don't care and you really haven't made any change. If you're well and healthy, it'd be all the same again. And that condemnation crushes her. It crushes her. But you know what? There's one way, and that's to remember that he died for our sins. And though we may go through a chastening, for them that God loves, he chastens. But God wants us healthy. God wants us well. Our mistakes did not change God's mind. It did not change God's outlook. It changed our mind and changed our outlook. The cafe's still there. Though the doors is closed to us, it's still there. It still serves yourself. But it's closed to us. Why is it closed to us? Because we don't have the money to buy while others are feeding. So then let's pray. And let's pray that God will help her. And God will open up her heart and understanding and cause her to believe in the mercies of God. And the very minute that she believes in the mercies of God, the whole situation will change. Let's just pray for the girl. And let's ask God to do something for her. Now, Sheena, when I pray for you, I want you to believe in the mercy of God. And I want you to believe in the goodness of God. And I want you to accept the fact that he loves you, that he wants you well. But he doesn't want you like that. Because the depressed mind will make you think altogether different. Father, knowing that serving you, it's joy, it's peace. Lord, in the mighty Holy Ghost, you said we lay hands on the sick and they'd recover. That if we ask anything in your name, you would do it. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that this girl be made whole. Let her be made whole now. Move everything, God, that can be aggravating about this esophagus. Father, heal it. Make it well. Because of Jesus Christ, heal her. Because of your mercy, because of your goodness, Lord, we look to your righteousness. That you heal her according to your righteousness. Granted, I feel you doing something for her right now, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. You know what? Another mistake that we make, folks. I believe God let these people come down here because of you putting me on a timetable. He does it every time. I watch when somebody puts me on a timetable. Every time he'll let somebody come to hold the service up. See, he is altogether upset with you and he's not in agreement with you and your carnal mind. But the mistake that people make when they're praying for somebody, just like me, I go to pray for the sick. I can make a great mistake. And that mistake is I can fail to realize that I'm asking God to do this according to his righteousness. Not according to my righteousness. Somebody looks at me and says, well, Brother Pike, I don't have Brother Pike, you know. No, that's not the way it is.
The Bible said, it's not me living, but Christ. My confidence is not in the flesh. My confidence is in Christ. And when I pray, I don't pray according to my righteousness or what I've done. I pray according to the righteousness of the Son of God. For my righteousness is not sufficient. It's like filthy rags. And that's why the Bible said that the man that stood in the temple that looked up and said, oh God, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. But he was justified and went away to his house justified rather than the man that said, I fast, I pray, I give alms. God said, away with it. It's no good to me. But the man said, I don't do nothing. I don't fast. I don't pray. I don't do nothing. My God, have mercy on me. I'm going to go to hell if you don't have mercy on me. God said, mercy granted. See, God created us to glorify Him, not to glorify us. If I fast, I'm to put my works before God is to fast with confidence in His righteousness and to praise Him for what He done. And I'm only fasting and praying to get my confidence in His righteousness. That's all that's for. But if I fast and I get up after a 10-day fast and I say, God's going to heal. I've been fasting. Well, you can see my fasting hadn't done me any good. My faith is in my works. I've got to get up as though I haven't done anything and get up praising God, realizing that that didn't accomplish anything. Whether I eat or don't eat, I'm no better. But that I fast with my confidence in His works and in His righteousness and in His greatness. That He'd done all of this for me, and I'm trying to get the confidence in my heart to believe in what He did, to stimulate my faith. That's what my works are for. To fast with confidence in Him, and to praise Him, and to grow stronger in the confidence of His finished works. And brethren, when you do that, it'll work right. But that's how easy Satan perverts your thinking, and he has you fasting with all confidence in your fasting. As if you're going to accomplish something because you went hungry for a few days. Get your faith in God. You're not going to be healed or heal anybody because you went on a fast. Because that has nothing to do with it. Because you prayed, it has nothing to do with it. You heal people because you believe in His righteousness. And the Spirit of God heals through faith. And you become great in His sight because you believe as it was with Abraham. The fasting and the praying is for one purpose. And that's to stimulate your believing in His righteousness. And if you can't think of it like that, then your faith is misplaced faith, and you're never going to get anything. You're going to be like the Jews, and God's going to say, away with your fasting and everything else, because going about to establish your own righteousness, you've stumbled at the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Christ Jesus. Let's pray like this, folks, that God's going to heal, because He said He would heal. Just take Him in His word. And let's do that, and let's remember that He wants us well. That He wants us well. We're praying tonight in all simplicity. You know, we have testimonies all the time. I mean, we get them through mail. We get them from people all the time. We're having testimonies of God healing people. Numbers of things that you never hear about. Just about all the audience never hears about. But it's a regularity. Because He said, these signs shall follow them. Believe. I believe it's going to follow. I trust that He will. I know that it will. I pray for people with a regularity. I'm always getting little notes or somebody says to pray for me or we'll have something. And I pray night and day. I call on the Lord that these things will continue to happen because that's the way it's supposed to be. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, Lord, You know that we don't come to church to make a demonstration, but rather we come to the church to try to build the faith of people and to indoctrinate the people. But God, You know that we pray for them all the time and pray for the sick with a regularity. So then I want You to heal Mac tonight. We know that sin causes sickness, Father. And Lord, we give place to the devil and he comes in on us. But be merciful to us, Master. We know that if we can't lift our faith up, You can't heal us. You can't get to us. And our penalty for our wrong and the length of time that we have to be in confinement depends on as to whether or not we can get a clear conscience, as to how much we humble our heart and get down to business with You to let You know how sorry we really are, that our faith may rise and break the yoke. I feel His faith rising right now as I talk to Him. Oh God, help him to believe. Max had problems, but You can move it. Heal the strapped throat. I feel You doing it right now. Heal. Praise God. I believe God did it. I really believe that God did it.
Let's pray for the sister. They're having a few problems. I really miss Joseph. I thought a lot of Joseph. And they're having some problems. And she said she'd been to the doctor, and the doctor talked like that she had cancer. Said they was afraid that she was going to have cancer, so they wanted to use the laser. But she said she wanted to trust God and believe God that He would heal her. You know, if that could be bad, but let's just pray and let's believe God. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, there's nothing too hard for You. We know, Father, that that disease come from sin, and death follows disease. But Lord, it's not Your will that we should die. It's Your will that we should live forever. It's not Your will that we should be sick, but it's Your will that we should be healthy and happy. So then, knowing that You was delivered for our offenses, Father, and that You took away our sins at Calvary, Lord, and You was raised again for our justification in the sight of the Father. Father, through that justification, heal this body through that righteousness of the Son of God. I feel Your healing her right now. Heal her, even as You did the woman of the tent when You moved the cancer. Oh God, in that by doctor's report, heal, move the cancer. Move the cancerous parts, Father. Kill the germs. Move it out. Lift her faith up. God, give them blessings and peace. Grant it. Grant it, Father. Grant it, oh God, grant it. In the name of the Son of God, even Jesus, grant it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, let's believe with Roger. Wants to believe for the wife. She's got a condition. He said that she can't get rid of. So let's pray tonight. You know, if we would believe more, we would see more things. Did you know that? Jesus said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Somebody would say, well, I believe He can do it, Brother Pike, but I sure don't believe you can do it. Well, the Bible said it would not be us speaking, but Him that was speaking. And the Bible said we're bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, that it's not us living, but Him. So then, do we really believe He can do it? He said for you and I to go and heal the sick, to cleanse the leper, to raise the dead. Should it be thought a great thing, Paul said, that God should raise the dead? Wouldn't that be a simple thing for God to raise the dead? A very simple thing. Let's just believe God and let's pray. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, not to know anyone after the flesh, but after the Spirit, I believe that You're able. I believe that You're here in our midst. I believe the angels of God are here. Though we haven't had an exuberant experience tonight, dear God, yet our understanding has been fruitful. Lord, we know that You're here. We know that You're just as powerful as in the day when You walked the shores of Galilee. And these people need healing. So I'm asking You to heal. Whatever the condition of the sister is, I want You to heal her. I want You to help my people, Father, to understand that they can't play around in the world. And they can't do the things of the world. Lord, and they can't keep backsliding and going out without some bad thing happening and tragedy coming. But be merciful to them because they've been His children. And they've been growing. And give them another chance, Father. Lord, and help them to understand. Give them that second benefit, that second chance. I call on Your righteousness again tonight for the audience. For me, I call on Your righteousness. For I want to present it to the Heavenly Father, Jesus. And Father, tonight, in the righteousness of Your Son, by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, bring the healing to this sister. By His righteousness, granted. Heal the brother. Bless the brother. Help the sister to submit to God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible tells us to go our way and sin no more. Lest the worst thing come upon us. God is willing to heal. God wants to heal. God does heal. But a lot of times we're coming back because we have been healed and then a worse thing has taken place. And so then we need to remember that when God heals us,
Go thy way and do right after that. Because if you don't, a worse thing is going to come on you.
Okay, let's pray for this. Most of you probably heard she was in a wreck. Something happened in here. There's a bone that undoubtedly is pressing a nerve because it's causing a deadness in there. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of your lovely child Jesus, I ask you to do something for this woman, Father. Forgive her sins. Take away her iniquities. Help her to love you with all of her heart. Oh Lord, and heal her. And help her go her way to sin no more. Lest the worst of things should come, oh God. But Father, you said that if we would lay hands on them, that their sins would be forgiven. And that the prayer of faith would save the sick. If they've committed any sin, it shall be forgiven them. And you said that you would raise them up. Now, Father, heal this body in the name of the Son of God. Heal it in Jesus' name. Feel you doing it right now. Move the bone, put it in the right place. Grant it in Jesus' name. You know, as I was praying, the reason I stopped for a moment, as I started praying, I could see her turning her back to me. And she turned all the way around and turned her back to me. And I stood there for just a moment, and then she began to turn all the way back around toward me this way. See, now that indicates something. Maybe you don't understand. But that indicates something. I told this quite a number of times while praying for a man. I saw a drill go down into his head, and I couldn't understand it. So I didn't try to explain it to him. And I thought, my land, what is that? And a few days after the prayer, they took him to the hospital and they drilled down into his head. And he come back and testified of them drilling into his head. I didn't understand it when I saw it, and I didn't connect it with them drilling into his head. But a lot of times God will show you things because he wants you to understand. He showed me many things. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, according to your will and according to your righteousness, according to your name, let the sheep follow you. Let what I say cause the sheep to follow you. Lord, only to follow me as I follow you. And let me never pervert their mind and their thinking. Never, Lord, not one tiny bit to take it away from you because you're the chief shepherd. Nor to never take it away from you because you're their instructor. You're their life. Let me turn them toward you because they that gather not with you scatter abroad. Let me not scatter abroad. I ask you to heal the man tonight. Forgive his sins and heal him. Heal him by the righteousness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivereth him out of them all. Pray with me. Father, Lord of heaven, in the wonderful name of your lovely child Jesus, I ask you to heal this woman. Father, heal her. Forgive her sins. Put all of her sins in the past. Father, you said forgetting those things that are behind. Looking toward Jesus, the soon coming King. Whatever her hurts and her miseries, the tortures of her mind, the condemnations, whatever it is, Lord, help her to settle it once and for all in serving you with all of her heart, with all of her mind, with all of her strength, and heal her. Heal her now. Heal her. Lift up faith in this heart, Father. For there can be no healing, Father, with condemnation. And there can be no confidence, O God, unless we become sincere to the extent that we're going to leave sin alone. We've got to convince ourselves that we won't play around on God anymore. Before faith can ever come, Father, and before healing can ever come. So forgive her sins. Heal her and make her well. In the name of your holy child, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray for this sister. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, you've heard her request. Now I ask in Jesus' name that you grant her request. Oh God, right now. Let the Holy Ghost fill this heart, this life. May her companion be filled with the Holy Ghost.
May her little family also be in the care of the Holy Ghost, the wonderful Holy Ghost of God. Let it come into this life. I feel it right now, Father. Let it enter into this life. Let that quickening that raised up Jesus from the dead be felt to this body, in this mind. Grant it. Grant it according to your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, grant her request to the ultimate. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray. Hallelujah. Father, grant this sister's request. Grant her desire. Relief from much sorrow and oppression. Dear God, and help her to believe, to surrender, to conform. And lift the weights. God, lift the weights that there will be joy. Let joy come into this heart. Let joy come into this life. Bring the joy of Christian living. Forgive and work in her behalf and in her family's behalf in the name of Jesus. Father, touch this sister tonight. And oh God, do something for her. Oh God, help her to believe. Help her to understand that the wages of sin is death. And oh God, that she can shorten her life by her disobedience. But Father, that if we'd have long life, we should refrain our tongue, Father, from speaking evil and speaking guile, and to conform to Christ and go on with Christ to walk in His lovely way. So heal tonight. Make well tonight. In the name of the Son of God, even Jesus Christ. Okay, let's pray for the sister. She said that she's having dizzy spells, and that she'd like to rededicate her life to God. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, Thou that knowest the hearts of all people, dear God, look down in this heart. Help her to realize her wrongs, O God. Help her to see her mistakes. And dear God, help her to walk with You and the thing that has happened in her life that's brought condemnation. And, oh God, that's made her feel so bad. Lord, I pray that You would take it out of her life, that You would put it in the past. Oh God, that she would never again do anything that's unlike You. Father, to move the dizziness, this dizziness, oh God, Lord, move it away from her. Help her, dear God, to call on You with all of her heart. For unless she does, there will be no faith. Father, there will be no answer. Because if there's no faith, there will be no answer. But to believe. To believe. Oh God, right now. I feel the answer. Because she's believing in You right now. Grant it, Father. Grant it. In the name of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask You to heal and I ask You to forgive. And I ask You to deliver. Grant Your blessings in this life. Father, it's important. Oh God, in Jesus' name I ask it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now the little sister in the red dress, don't forget, God granted your request tonight. Couldn't get through for a few minutes, but He heard you and you got through. But don't forget what you promised Him now. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, as I pray for my sister, You've given her the victory. God, she's got the victory. And God, she's going forth day after day, leaving a testimony and still persevering and overcoming more and more. And I feel her faith tonight in God. May it be strengthened. Strengthen her faith. Oh God, from glory to glory and victory to victory in Jesus' name. Father, tonight as we pray for this sister, praying, dear wonderful God, for her children. There's nothing too hard for Thee, O God. And if we'll believe and continue to believe, O God, persevere and hold on, dear God, Satan will have to give. He'll have to leave. And we'll see the desires of our heart. Because You promised, You said that You would give us the desires of our heart. Grant unto this sister the desires of her heart. Remember, remember. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask it. Amen. Fathers, I pray for Brother Richard tonight.
May your spirit be with him. May your blessings be with him. May you grant the blessings of God, Lord, that he might overcome and sit down in the throne with you. God bless Brother Richard. Bless his wife. Bless his little children. Help us to believe, Father, for thou art the God of faith. And Lord, you are unto us according to our believing. So then we believe. Believe in your mercy. Believe in your healing. Believe in your blessings. Grant it now in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Son of God. In Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray tonight your blessings in the life of Sister Lundabaugh and in the life of Brother Lundabaugh. Dear God, in their home with their children, O God of heaven, may your blessings be in that family. And may her faith lift up to you as to whatever you ought to be in their lives. Forgive the sins. Help us to be strong, O God, in faith, even as Abraham was. Grant it tonight in the name of the Son of God, by your righteousness, Jesus. By your righteousness, grant it, Father, in the righteousness and in the Son of God's name. Grant it, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, touch this sister tonight. In the name of Jesus, help her to be reconciled unto Christ. Help her to find a way back, Lord, to the blessings. Dear God, that the grief and sorrows might vanish away into nothing. God, and let there come forth a great, wonderful well of water springing up into everlasting life from this heart. Grant it tonight. Grant it in the name of the Son of God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, in your name tonight, grant your blessings upon Richard's wife tonight. May the blessings be there tonight. Lord, may she draw closer to you. Forgetting those things that are behind, let her draw closer. Oh God, even as we see the day approaching, reverencing the more, calling on the name of Jesus, grant it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, help this sister tonight to be reconciled unto Christ. And help her to find that perfect place in Jesus. Life in this world is not forever, O God, but just for a short period of time. So then I ask of you in Jesus' name, let it come forth, even the blessings of God. Let it come forth, even the blessings of God. Lord, forgive her sins. Forgetting those things that are behind. Remember, Lord, that we're but like chaff, Lord, that the wind blows away, except in Christ. And that our strength is in God. Therefore, move from us haughtiness and arrogancy. O God, and bring about humility to consider others to be better than ourselves and to realize how little we are. Grant it in the name of Jesus, I ask it. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, grant Sister Essie a blessing. May the Spirit of God come into this life that she may walk with her companion, that they may do great things in Jesus' name. Make a way. Forgive sins. Make a way. For I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, Father, and I ask it by His righteousness. Let your righteousness prevail. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I feel your spirit right now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, in the Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. I'll serve you, Lord. I'll serve you, Lord.
Can you lift up your hands and love the Lord? The Bible said, rejoice with them that rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.
Grant thy blessings, O God. Grant thy blessings. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, may your blessings be here. May the yoke be broken as the anointing breaks the yoke. Grant it, O God. Grant it, O God. In the name of Jesus, grant the blessings to this life, to this heart, in walking after you. Let there be great joy and peace in this heart and this mind. Bless the little one in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you love the Lord? God bless the sister and broke a yoke. He blessed the little sister in the red dress. He broke a yoke off of her. The tears were streaming down her cheeks as she stood here. You know, it's wonderful to know that the anointing breaks the yoke. Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, dear God, a sister that the doctors felt like wouldn't be living, Lord, but a few weeks and a few months, and conference with her husband as to that end, but she's still living. By faith in God, she's still living. And dear God, I remember when we prayed for her years ago, Lord, when she overcame something in her life. Dear God, when she overcame rheumatic fever, as she believed. Oh God, as I felt God heal then, I feel God heal now. Grant it. Grant it. The same faith that she had then, Father, she has now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Can you lift your hands up and praise God? Hallelujah. God healed her. She's never had rheumatic fever again, I understand. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch this body right here. Touch this person and heal this person tonight. Forgive this person. Touch these little ones. Oh God, as they come to be prayed for, touch them. Let them feel His presence tonight. Let them be healed and let things happen in their little lives. As to the blessings of God, may they be blessed tonight in the name of Jesus. Grant it, Father. And Father, bless this sister tonight. By your wonderful spirit, by your wonderful leadership, may it be a healing. May it be a deliverance, a reassurance. Oh God, in this life. Father, I know that you want to do something in this life. I know that you want to bless this sister. And oh God, give her strength. Help her to believe. Help her to believe in your righteousness. In the name of the Son of God, Jesus. Father, bless Brother Clyde tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, completely eradicate, completely move all the hindrance and the hurt. Dear wonderful God, of these gums, of the teeth, of the pain and of the misery, because you don't want it there. Because you don't want it there. Father, because you don't want it there. Hallelujah. Heal and make well. In the name of the Son of God, even in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Father, heal this little one. Bless him. Let your spirit be upon him, in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask you to forgive and to save and to heal. Let us know the right way, Father. Lord, let us not stagger down the pathway as one that's blind. But let us be children of light, that day should not come upon us unaware. Lord, that we might know and that we might understand, that we might be blessed. Therefore, lead us. Forgive. Remember, we're but children. Forgive in the name of Jesus. Father, touch the brother tonight. Lord, you've seen the purposes and plans in his heart to do something for God. And he hasn't given up. Lord, he has done some things for you. And he still has plans to do something for you. Let it be done according to your will. According to your grace. Lift his heart up to look Lord, right now, I feel your presence. Help him to look beyond the veil tonight. Hallelujah. Feel it right now. Lord, I feel his faith going up right into your presence right now. Grant it. Grant it. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands up and praise the Lord. I feel that.
I feel that tonight. I feel God breaking the yoke. Bless this little sister. Grant it in the name of Jesus, Father. Grant it in the name of Jesus as I feel your presence tonight. Dear God, help this sister tonight. Father, remember that we're but children as we stumble and stagger along the way of life. And we realize there's none good but God, and all our confidence is in your righteousness. And Father, we're but as a filthy rag in your sight. But looking to you tonight, looking to your righteousness tonight, knowing that without faith in your righteousness, there won't be any answer. We look away to your righteousness tonight. Grant your blessings. Break the yoke. Drive out every hindering spirit. Satan, I adjure thee by the name of the Son of God to take your hands off of this woman. Leave her. Go your way, Lucifer, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. I feel God breaking the yoke right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to touch this sister tonight. May the great, wonderful hand of God be in this life. May every yoke be broken. Forgetting those things that are behind, let us look to your righteousness tonight and call on thee, oh God, to know that there will be no answer unless we believe in your righteousness. Looking beyond the veil, in the name of Jesus, I feel your power and spirit right now. Heal this body. Forgive these sins. Cause this individual, oh God, to turn to thee with all of a heart. In the name of Jesus, grant it. Satan, I adjure thee by God to take your hands off of this woman. In the name of Jesus, go thy way, Lucifer, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for this sister tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, may she look unto you. May her companion look unto you. Oh God, that they can be blessed together. Break the yoke from off of this home. And let there be rejoicing. And let there be healing. In the name of the Son of God. Bless this sister tonight, Father. May your healing be in this life. May she find thee in a greater way. In a greater measure than she's ever found thee. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Can you lift your hands up and love the Lord? Father, heal this little one tonight and bless him in Jesus' name. Father, bless Willie tonight. Oh God, as we bring him before the throne of God, asking you tonight, in your mercy and in your love, to heal him, to move every disease from his body. Bless him and his little families. You bless Sister Essie tonight. So bless Willie. Knowing that it's by your goodness that we're here, Father. It's by your love our faith is working, by believing in your mercy. And we do believe in your mercy. Grant it in the name of Jesus tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, as I pray for this brother tonight, I ask you to break the yoke. Remember the request of his wife, my Father. And, O Lord, look down in this heart and make us to know that all things are open before the eyes of God. And thou that seest the secrets of man's heart, thou knowest all things. So I do ask of thee tonight that you would purify the heart, even by your great love, and remember us. Remember your mercy, even from everlasting to everlasting. Grant it in the name of Jesus tonight. Father, bless Brother Philip tonight. May your blessings be upon him. Help him. Oh God, help him to recover, Lord, from everything that Lucifer has tried to do to him. Help him, Jesus. I ask of it tonight. Ask of you, and for it in Jesus' name. I ask that you lift his faith up. Grant it. Believing, O God, in your righteousness. Believing in your name. In your righteousness, Father. Grant it in the name of Jesus right now. And I feel you doing it right now. Grant it. Grant it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Grant it in his name tonight.
Hallelujah. Father, bless Brother Al tonight. Lord, eradicate from this body every disease according to the vision that our brother saw. Let it be so. Move everything that's unlike God in this life. Move it, O God. And bring to pass the word of God. Hallelujah. Grant it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Grant it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, Brother Al, I could hear the Lord saying that He saw you, that He was watching you, He saw your determination, and that He was going to honor your faith. He was confirming that tonight. How many of you are going to believe with that? How many believe that was a real, genuine Holy Ghost that was talking there? That was genuine. There was no make-believe about it. Very easily we could have given forth prophecy. The anointing of that anointing moves. Prophecy comes forth very clear. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless our sister. Help her to unite with her husband. God, Al dares to trust you. And dear God, you won't forsake him and you won't leave him. Dear God, they that walk with you. And they that dare to trust you with their lives, Lord, in a case like ours, you'll hear from heaven and heal their lands. Bless and strengthen the faith of Sister Nabi. I feel you blessing Nabi right now. Grant it. Remember their labor in the Lord. Remember what they tried to do for you. Grant it. Grant it. In the name of the Son of God. Don't you feel that, folks? Don't you feel that tonight? Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Bless this little one in Jesus' name. Father, bless these folks tonight. And while our hearts are turned towards you, and while we're looking to heaven to worship you, hear from heaven and heal our lands. And no matter what we've done, Father, Lord, we're but children. And I know you're going to chasten us if we're children. But don't forget us, Father. And I know you won't. For though a mother will forsake her little suckling, Father, you said, I've engraved thee in the palms of my hands that I might not forget you. And though we be chastened because we be sons, yet we love you. We love you. Forgive us. Lift us up. Strengthen us. Use us. Bring it to pass. Forgive Paul's sins. In the name of the Son of God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I feel God doing something tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, bless Tommy. Dear God, give Tommy health. Give him strength. Give him a vision. I say again, we're but children, Father, and we're your children. Tommy loves you. He's trying to follow you. He needs your strength. Grant it. Grant it, Father, in the name of your holy child, Jesus, and grant it by his righteousness. Even the righteousness which is by Christ at Calvary. I feel you doing it now in the name of Jesus. I feel you doing it now. Hallelujah. Let the yoke be broken in Jesus' lovely name. Hallelujah. Father, tonight, as I pray for the sister, may the wonderful blessings of God be upon her. May the yoke be broken. Father, it's within her heart to serve you. It's within her heart to follow you. Move the hindrance. Move it. Give a new day. Let there be a new dawning. Let there be a moving of the Spirit. I feel it already. Satan, I command you in the name of Jesus to break the yoke, to move away from these people. Move away from these people. I plead the blood of Calvary against you and in their behalf in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, grant it. Hallelujah. Can you lift your hands up and love the Lord? Can you lift your hands up and love the Lord tonight? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Sing it one more time now. For I've anchored my soul in God's heaven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Sing it just one more time. For I have anchored my soul in God's heaven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. While you've got your heads bowed and your hands and hearts lifted to Christ, I want to say that I appreciate your patience. Brother Pike's not scolding you because you'll get weary and tired. But let's be patient. See, the Lord wants to hold us sometimes. It may not be for you, it may be for somebody else. But after all, you're God's servant. You're trying to bring deliverance to others. If we can strengthen one another's hands, think what it will mean. But if we leave and we can't stay and we don't have enough perseverance, then we're not partakers in the deliverance. I've known in the past where people had to wrestle to get faith, pray with people over in the morning before the devil would leave the people. They had to pray to get the faith. They stayed there until they really got to believing something was going to happen. And brothers, sisters, it happened. But we get into ritualistics and formality and we forget. That's why I pray for the people like I do. I don't just run through them. I remember the meeting in Macon, Georgia when we prayed. How the power of God moved because the people was believing there under the tent. In Indiana, it was doing the same thing when the cold weather set in because God was ready for us to leave. God wants to do something, folks. He wants to use you. He wants to use me. He wants to help us. So tonight, let's just bow our heads together and let's think upon Jesus. And let's just purpose in our heart that from now on our life's going to be different. It's going to be different. I felt God heal tonight. We'll get a report out of it. A good report. Everywhere we go to pray for the sick, we get a good report. I want Brother Atlee Beachy to come down, if you will, to pray the closing prayer tonight. Think it over, folks. You need Jesus. Deathbeds are coming. Sorrow and heartaches is coming. Woe is coming. Misery is coming. The end of life is coming. But you know, if we're ready to meet Jesus, if we're sincere with Jesus, if we love Jesus, it won't trouble us. It won't bother us. We won't care. We hate to depart from our loved ones. But you know, if you believe Jesus and if you love Jesus, it won't matter. Because that'll be happy days for you. If you really believe. That's why I ask you, do you believe that you are a Christian? Do you really? Are you really sold out in your heart to the conviction that He is in your heart and in your life and that you are His daughter or son? Are you completely convicted in your heart that that is absolutely a profound truth and fact? If not, folks, let's get somewhere until it becomes real. Let's get somewhere until it becomes real. Let it be in your heart, richly dwelling in your heart. While you've got your heads bowed and your hands lifted up, I want our brother to come.